Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 340. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and I think this is the ninth guest appearance from the guest that I have this week. And it's always great when I can have an excuse to email this gentleman and say, hey, can we talk on Skype for a little bit, and then share it with the tens of thousands of FitCast listeners. And of course, that is Dan John. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing very well. I got a touch of a cold from this all this travel, but I'm fine. I had a great workout. I just had a delicious vegetarian omelet, which was kind of a funny word. It should be a vegetable omelet because there was no actual vegetarians in it. But yeah, I'm doing great.
Well, obviously, the number one thing that we're here to talk about is, I mean, you got a new book out. And this came kind of like out of nowhere. Usually you got that big, you know, build up. You have the book tour. I was thinking maybe you'd get on that last episode of Letterman. Maybe he was overbooked.
No, Bill Murray and I were having lunch right before, and we were going to sing. And I said, Bill, work with me here.
Yeah.
And he agreed that me not coming on would actually be funnier than me coming on. So that was our decision. That was our process. I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah, his comedy can be a little bit weird and a little bit, it's original.
Yes. And so that's where we went on that. So, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, the book, if you're listening right now and you haven't checked it out, it's called Can You Go? And the great thing about this release is right at the start, the wonderful Laree Draper has it not only in print, shipped for Amazon Prime on Amazon.com, but also you can get it on Audible.com right now. And if you are a person that just hates paper, you can also get it on your Kindle e-reader for $8. So it is an incredible value, and I've already finished reading it. And my real big critique that I, you know, posted online and was joking with Dan about is that, you know, $20 just seems like undervaluing the content of the book, because you're literally getting, and maybe you can clarify me on this, but you're kind of getting like everything that you've refined in the last year put into a package for people to digest.
Well, yeah, I try to be, you know, what I'm trying to do now, where I'm at in my career, Kevin, is I'm trying to take all these things. Okay, I used to joke and call it my spider senses, but now the more common phrase for that would be reverse engineer. That's kind of the go-to word. You know, when you coach, you just look sometimes and you say, you know, you might say, right to 23 spider, you know, all fly. And they look at the team and it works perfectly. And the team says, where'd you come up with that? And you went, I don't know. Or you look at someone squatting and you say, have you ever had, you know, mononucleosis? Yes. How'd you know? And then you break down like a couple of years later, you'll realize those are both big, you know, wild examples, but you'll see something. And when someone asks you, how did you notice that? I'm spinning my hands right now. And you have to kind of reverse engineer maybe 10 years of experience. You got that? I've seen this before. This was the fix. It didn't work in these five. And so what I'm trying to do with this book is when you come to me and I train you a certain way, and this person right next to you, we train a lot the same but different enough. Well, why do you do that? Well, because – well, and that's Can You Go? Because Rob is a mobility client. Danny is a three. He needs to get his waist measurement down. Edna needs to get stronger. But they need to do the fundamental human movements. They all need to eat vegetables. They all need to drink more water. That's great. But their training is slightly different enough that it's funny because you might not even see it, the difference. When you're training properly, you might not even notice the differences. But I would have a fat loss client, for example, between sets of swings, do bird dogs. Because oddly, bird dogs keep the heart rate elevated. In fact, sometimes raise it higher than swings. Where a a client who's got mobility issues between sets of presses, one-arm presses, say, I would have them do some TRX stretches. They're both – everybody's lifting weights, but their rest periods look a little different. Everybody's lifting weights, but Edna, who needs strength, doesn't total more than 10 reps in the workout, where Bob, who needs more hypertrophy, is doing, I don't know, three sets of eight with, you know, like a minute rest in between. They're all lifting the same things with just small differences, but that's what makes, I think, an effective training program.
So I have a lot of stuff written down, and I don't know where to start, but let's talk briefly about intervention, because one of your previous books is a really good prerequisite, I would say, for this book. It's not needed, but I think, you know, you do a really good job, you know, re-explaining the quadrants and kind of your programming system in this book. But also I would kind of recommend if people are, you know, getting ready to jump all in, definitely also intervention. You can get audiobook there as well. And same thing with all the Amazon stuff. You can get that book. And with that, I guess, again, okay. But first off, I wrote down ice cream. Do you know why I wrote down ice cream?
Go ahead. Yes.
I don't know why I did. I'm seriously asking you.
Oh, sure. That comes from one of my guys who works with us. His name's Rob Morris. He played linebacker for the Colts. Mm-hmm. He has a Super Bowl ring. And when Omaha became famous from Peyton Manning, he told us when he played with the Colts, Manning had a call called ice cream. He would yell ice cream, start pointing and start screaming out letters and colors and what ice cream meant is this. Everything I'm about to say, completely dismiss and ignore. I'm just trying to throw the opponent off. And so we use it in our gym. So ice cream and eye wash in our gym. Eye wash comes from Major League Baseball. One of our guys is a catcher for the Braves. And eye wash in baseball and ice cream in football both have the same basic meaning. It's BS. So ice cream, when you have a client and you're trying to show, and I get it. You know, if you're a personal trainer, you kind of have to prove you're special somehow, and you're going to have some ice cream in your program. Yes, you see, what we're going to have you do is stand on this device, and I'm going to measure your arm width, and I have I have this logarithm that I'll plug into, and okay, that's ice cream. We all use ice cream, you know. Close one eye and stand still for 5 seconds. Huh, I noticed that you twitched across your right quadricep. It means you need to do squats, swings, and presses, you know, and eat more vegetables and drink water. You know. And then, of course, eye wash is just all that extra crap that we just throw in to look and to make it. So both of them basically mean the same thing. Okay. Does that help you at all?
Yeah, I got you. Again, I was up till about 11:30 last night, listening to the book, and that's when I wrote it down. And then when I woke up this morning, I'm like, what the hell did I write down ice cream for? Yeah. And I was like, maybe I was probably kind of hungry too.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I go to a lot of conferences and workshops, and I'll be sitting there sometime, and inside my head, I'll think to myself, ice cream. You know, the college coach would be talking about, I like to do, just right now, this time of year, we're doing the Andy Pandrick periodization across the delineal lines. We're, 23-second contraction, 9.2-second elevation across ice cream. Mm-hmm. You're trying to come off. You know what? You squat, you bench, you clean. That's what you do. And all this, so we all do it. And I do it too, you know. We can't help ourselves. So, yeah, ice cream.
I was going to kind of say what you were going to say. And just in case, I remember when I started my very first personal training job, like I had to use that to convince people that they needed me as their personal trainer, because they wouldn't care that I've, been to all these seminars. They wouldn't care that, I know, the best way to help you, lose body fat, doing something like an assessment or, an FMS or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you could like quantify what is wrong with them, give them a number even. and just show them like, this is, yeah, you're like, you just got a one in this FMS and this FMS test. So clearly you need me. Otherwise you're going to continue to suck. So, let's talk about assessments because that's one of the big parts of the book too, is how you assess people. First I want to talk about how, just in general, I know you go into full detail in the book, but you know, what are you looking at when you assess someone that is coming into to your gym for the first time to train? And
let's make sure we break it out. Okay.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, if they're a young kid, you know, quadrant one, what do I call them? You know, we're going to teach them the movements. We're going to teach them how to do everything. There's the whole program is really, I'm going to teach them how to tumble. I'm going to teach them maybe some basic self-defense, which is always a fun thing. I'm going to teach them how to do the basic Olympic lifts, the basic power lifts, the basic bodybuilding stuff. So for the rest of their life, they'll have that toolkit. Heck, we'll probably even teach them some first aid. I really like my athletes to know first aid, how to use a defibrillator.
But you're teaching your athletes self-defense?
Yeah. Well, I mean, wrestling, breaking an arm bar. Yeah. If someone grabs your wrist and you're a young lady, it's nice to know the twist and the direction of the thumb. Mm-hmm. Maybe it saves one person something sometime in their life. It's more than worth it.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah.
Okay, if you're quadrant two, so that's a Navy SEAL or a football player, I would probably stress the things I can do best in my gym. That would be, you know, increasing your strength and helping you along with mobility. If you're quadrant four, an elite sprinter or deadlifter, you probably won't be at my gym. It's in quadrant three. If you're an active athlete, then I would have you do the fundamental human movements. Now, if you're in quadrant three, say anybody older than 22, and you're not an active athlete, then I do that 1-2-3-4 assessment. Mm-hmm. I also do the 1-2-3-4 assessment with athletes too, just to get a sense of things. But and what we're trying to do is I'm just trying to. I don't care about what you want necessarily. I'm not a bad person. But what you want sometimes, if you're just coming in the gym to feel better and move better, that's what you want. Let me use my experience and my team and my equipment to get you what you need versus what you want. And that is the key, I think, to my assessment is really ratcheting on what the person needs. And really, it's all about what's next. What's next is my, just so we know what to do for the next six to 10 days. I mean, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And basically the three things I think we can help most in the, in our facility is mobility, body composition, and strength. So when you make a Venn diagram, you end up with seven circles with those things. And it's interesting because we just lump you nice as I can say this into, you're a one, a two, a three, a four, a five, a six, or a seven. Mm-hmm. And seven means you lack in all three areas, mobility, body comp, and strength. And God bless you because you're great. You're the easiest to work with. The problem we find, and I'm sure when you read the book and you understand, many women fall into the four category, which means they have body composition issues and some strength deficit. But most women who come into a gym want to stretch and do ab work. Mm-hmm. And the last thing they need is stretching and ab work. I mean, I'd love to see them deadlift, squat, and bench, frankly, and do pull-ups. That would be the, you know, that's the route to their body composition issues.
Whole doing, you know, wanting to just do what you're already great at kind of thing.
Yeah, which we all do, and I love it.
Sure.
And most men are usually what we call twos. They have a body comp issue and mobility issue. So I had to, you know, it's interesting. Just out at brunch with Sean Fulton. He's going to be next year starting the kinesiology PhD program at Illinois. Brian Deedy, former linebacker at Ball State. Brian Burton, who's getting his master's degree in exercise phys or kinesiology. Mike, of course, Mike Brown, my programming expert. And Travis, who's my new intern. We're having this great breakfast, and you know, Sean raises this very important point about that Yonda nailed it perfectly, is that when you're working mobility, you must consciously strengthen the other side. And so that worked great for me as the kind of the answer, if you will, the answer to the how you get men to do mobility work. So what I'm going to do for you, you've got massive mobility issues. We're going to build up your one-arm press. And between every set of one-arm presses, we're going to do mobility work on your pecs, your biceps, hip flexor, hamstring. We're going to work your butt really hard and stretch your hip flexor at the same time. So that would, so hypertrophy and mobility together sort of answer the problem I have with most men. Men are easy to work with, really, if you allow them to lift weights. They'll do the – so it's interesting because if you're doing a weightlifting exercise for the facet muscles, for the deltoids, triceps, deep abs, the butt basically, if you're doing a bodybuilding or strength exercise and you're resting by doing mobility work, your heart rate stays in Maffetone's range the whole time. So you're also getting that cardiovascular workout that you most people want, you know, seem to want. So it's kind of fun when you stand back and you start to think about this whole picture of things. And I'm sorry for going on so long, Kevin. I apologize. But when you start to look at things, so how can I get women to do more strength training? Well, if I can get them to sweat, they'll deadlift. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I can get them to do kettlebell swings, kettlebell swings, a goblet squat, and then, okay, try to do a push-up. Let's get some pull-ups in. They'll go right with it as long as you're sweating. So you kind of always got to meet people where everybody wants to train their strengths. So you got to allow them to train their strengths, but you're going to focus on their weaknesses.
Gotcha.
Okay. A little windy there. I'm sorry.
No, it's a whole chapter of the book, you know, more or less. So you got to, I mean, it's not something we can kind of condense into a 2-minute talking point.
That is the whole book, folks.
Yeah.
I just gave it to you. Don't buy it.
No, you go by the book. Because there's, like I said, I'm looking at 4 pages of notes and I'm trying to figure out, you know, what exactly I want to focus on for this hour that we got. So, I'm going to guess, you know, there might be some people that read the book and you're going to get some emails saying, oh, so I should only be doing sets between 3 and 5 reps. Is that the case? Because obviously not, because you also mentioned, you know, sometimes you're doing TRX row sets of 15, doing sets of 8 for other stuff. You know, when you talk about going 15 to 25, what are you talking about?
My goal since I had that great conversation with Pavel about, that's got to be 6 or 7 or 8 years ago now, mm-hmm. is I'm trying to get rid of "it depends" as the answer. No, I'm serious. That's been my goal. I mean, instead of saying "it depends," I am trying to break into that next level of, okay, your answer is too global to be responded to. Mm-hmm. So is this a quadrant 1, quadrant 2, quadrant 4, or a quadrant 3 active athlete, or a quadrant 3 everybody else? It's a quadrant 3 E squared, everybody else, yeah. 6. Oh, he's a 6. No problem at all. Yeah, keep your rep range in the 15 to 25, but don't be afraid with the TRXs to go higher because there's some garbage reps sometimes with TRXs, and that's fine. And between sets of this, you know, you stretch. Oh, okay, or do mobility. So what I'm trying to get to is beyond "it depends." Mm-hmm. There's a title for a book right there. The search for beyond "it depends." I like that. I like that.
Do you want to get that before I post this? Do you want to get that URL?
Shit, no. No. Got it.
Okay. Because, yeah, again, like obviously, you know, I've seen the talk. You know, I've talked to you about this before. I understand where you're coming from. But, I mean, you even mentioned yourself in the, you know, the book, the people that are going to not even try the program, or they might not even read the whole article, but then they'll be jumping in the comments saying, hey, you said this, that's not true. Or you said this, I do it a different way. So,
yeah. See, that's been the problem, Kevin, is, you know, I write for T-Nation, and back when they used to have a forum, I used to get so frustrated because they were demanding an "it depends" answer out of me. You know, I need more information. You know, I'm a 41, and then of course everybody's a fighter nowadays. You know, I'm a 41-year-old MMA fighter who likes to do triathlons. You know, I have 2 full-time jobs, and right, you're a fighter. So how should I train? I can now circle that back down a little bit, you know, into a much more appropriate. I would tell that person that example, well, just do the fundamental human movements, push, pull, hinge, squat, load, or carry, sixth movement, and sometimes do it for 15 to 25 total reps, and sometimes do the rule of 10, you know, get stronger, and break that up into some sections of the year. There you go. Thank you very much. And to me, in my mind, it's that simple. You know, and go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I'm looking forward to showing you our summer program at MBSC because you've influenced it quite a bit. We're doing things a little bit differently this summer, so hopefully in the next week or so I can shoot that over you, take a look, and get some feedback on it.
I appreciate that. Yeah, good to hear. Yeah.
So jumping around a little bit, you put a heavy emphasis on making sure that you're training with a group, getting a community together when you're training. You know, we can talk a little bit about that, but also what about that person that just, you know, they have to get in their workout at 5 a.m. and they can't find that person to jump in with them, how to stay motivated and make sure that, you know, they're at an intensity level that is appropriate for what they're trying to do.
Yeah. So, you know, for your talking, yeah, those, God bless them too. The lone warrior, the lone wolves, you know. Been in that situation. And I think what you need to do, especially if you're training by yourself, is that's when you need to really make sure that you are, okay, that you truly are constantly looking at the gaps in your training. What are you not doing? And number two, are you up to standard? Mm-hmm. So if you're training yourself, and I got great respect for those who do, you know, I would suggest that you do a little bit more math homework than someone like myself. I've got, like today, we have 9 people training with me. You know, we all train together. And so I had eight people making sure that the workout was balanced and intelligent. If you're training by yourself, the simplest thing I could tell you is each week, each day, each week, and maybe each month, you tally up your totals. And I'm not talking about load. I'm talking about total number of reps. Because what most people who train themselves do, focus so much on their strong points. You know, at the end of a week, you'll find males, say, have 200 presses, 75 pulls, 25 squats. And those numbers should, the push, the pull, and the squat numbers should all be exactly the same, almost. And if you have more pulls, that's fine. And yet most people who train themselves have way too many push movements in their training. So that's the simplest thing to do, is just assess yourself, or what we talk about in the book is grade the mirror. How do you grade the mirror? Well, and there's some other simple ways, you know, every 6 weeks, you can do the 1, 2, 3, 4 assessment by yourself. I mean, I'm talking about all 4 of the assessments, even the get back up test, sure, why not? So, you know, your standing long jump numbers, you know, they should maintain, you know, your standing long jump should either maintain or improve with appropriate mobility and strength training. And if it's not, why not? And your farmer walk should be maintained or improved. That would measure kind of your work. I mean, I hate to call it work capacity, but yeah, that's the best word. That's the word we're using. But if that stuff isn't, if those two things are regressing, there's something wrong with your training. But the reason I like training the community so much is that when, like this morning, Mike Brown knocked at my door, I got up and worked out. I used absolutely no self-discipline or free will to work out today. None. And so if you train yourself, you've got to put together a system that allows you to get in the garage, get in your basement, work out. You've got to come up with some kind of system. Nowadays with YouTube and the videos and stuff like that, or an online community, or like what Stoney Beckstead and I have, we are accountability buddies. And every Wednesday we talk on the phone about, you know, I'm supposed to drink more water.
This is where I like to take a second, just halftime of the show. We're going to pause, and I need to say thank you to everyone that is supporting the show at patreon.com/thefitcast. We have a great group of people, about 240 people now that are supporting the show. And you can do so starting at just $1 per episode, and you get all that extra stuff like episodes 1 week early. And, you know, you can also get access to those agenda-free FitCast episodes where, you know, I call people Mike Danjon up randomly and just talk about stuff, and it tends to go all over the place and usually goes into fitness or, you know, health or mindset or whatever kind of pops up. But really, that is just an extra bonus for people that, you know, think that the show is worth supporting, and you're in a position to, you know, support the show at a buck per episode. Or, you know, we have some people, like, I'm going to give a shout out to the great Jeffrey Hemingway of Mark Fisher Fitness, who is supporting the show at $2 per episode.
There you go, Jeffrey.
Yeah, he knows what's up. Yeah. And Pamela Leary, who also just jumped on board a couple weeks back at $2 per episode. And like I said, you know, if it's a dollar per episode, four times per month, that's $4 at the end of each month that your credit card will be billed or a PayPal account. And that's like literally a cup of coffee, and that's without the espresso shot. So if you think that this content is worth supporting, jump on patreon.com/thefitcast, and it takes 2 seconds to set up. They do it automatically at the end of each month. Plus, you get access to that those episodes 1 week early. Plus, the Agenda Free Fitcast will always be exclusive to Patreon supporters. So I like to give a shout out to a couple people who are doing so again, like Susan House, who just jumped on board. This is going to be the first episode that Susan is supporting. So thank you so much, everyone out there that is doing that. It's a great thing.
Thank you, Susan. I hope this is worth it.
So let's get back into it. And again, the title of the book is "Can You Go?" So we've talked about this before, but you know, someone's going to come up to you, they got an event, they're going to give you all these excuses, and then you're going to ask, all right, well, you know, that's great, but, you know, can you go? So I'm curious, what is the most extreme thing that you have gotten from someone, and then you've basically just had to say, can you go? And they still just, you know, went out there, performed, and, you know, did well, or were up to their standard or better.
You know, I enjoy my time as a football coach, and that's where "can you go" comes from. The hardest thing about football is that that's not hard. What explains the game is there's a rule that there has to be 7 men on the line of scrimmage, and only the 2 whitest are eligible. So no matter what you do, you have to have 7 men on the line of scrimmage, and after that, everything's, you know, whatever. And to watch a kid scream in agony because he just blew his knee out, and, like, you know, my brother-in-law, Craig Hemingway, and then to look to somebody else and say, you know, hey, little Billy, you know, with your 135-pound bench press, I need you to go in at starting left tackle right now. And that's where "can you go" comes from. But anybody who's a parent knows what "can you go" means. My wife and I had this tough, it's hard to believe, well, wow, 23 years ago now, where both Kelly and Lindsay had different kinds of lung problems. I don't even remember, bronchiolitis and bronchitis. And every 2 hours we had to get up and put a mask on Lindsay. She was only a baby, and make her breathe. Well, every 2 hours. You know, neither Tiff nor I missed a day of work that whole time. But because if you want to be a parent, you know, the phrase "can you go" is going to be, and the answer is yes, you better be able to go, you know. So, you know, we go to the nationals and, you know, and you go to the local weightlifting meet and you'll hear the guys. Yeah, I was, you know, it's before they get ready. You know, it's so funny in the warm-up room. Yeah, I was peaking for this thing perfectly. And then I pulled my greater and soleus, and it was, you know, now I've got rock tape on it. And it's like, can you lift or not, man? Because I don't want to hear your crap. Because if you can't, go back home, man. You know, it's a sack. You're going to spend your entire – can you go? You know, so you hear it all the time. I can't believe how people will talk themselves out of success all the time. It's a mystery to me. But yeah, all the time. Anybody who's ever coached knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, didn't you have kind of your own case when it was, the lift for Larry?
Oh, how did you know that story?
Yeah, you told it on the very first episode we ever did.
Holy.
You had a great memory. Come on.
Holy cow. Yeah.
These interviews not only have impact on the listeners, but also the host.
You mean when I told the audience if I could pull a 600-pound deadlift, I would donate $1,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a can you go, well, huh? Holy cow. We couldn't afford $1,000, I can tell you that at the time. Yeah, Larry, my good friend, was diagnosed with cancer. His healthcare insurance was terrible. Terrible. And so, God bless her. I forgot all about this. Yeah, my daughter Kelly put together a fundraiser called Lift for Larry. Man, what a wonderful story. And I don't even use it. And God, how old would I have been? 50? I'd have been 50. And all the kids were doing like bench. They would bench press. For every time I bench pressed 225, they would get, they would get $100 a rep. You know, they'd ask a bunch of people, $5 here, $10 there. And so Kelly said, Dad, will you do something? I said, well, what do you need? And she said, I need something big. I need something that will keep people interested. And I said, well, honey, I'm 50. I can barely walk down the hallway. And she said, well, what if you deadlifted 600? And I thought to myself, Kelly, it's an easy sentence to say, hey, Dad, deadlift 600 pounds. See, you can do that for me right now, Kevin. Say, hey, Dad. Deadlift 600 pounds. Let me hear you say that.
Hey, Dan, can you go deadlift 600 for me?
You see how easy that was to do?
Yeah.
The other part of that, the actual deadlifting of 600 pounds. So by God, I mean, we probably got 1,000 kids there. So, that's a big boost. And my God, that thing came off. I thought I was going to clean it. That thing just shot off the floor. I hadn't done a deadlift since probably 1980. And this is what? 2007 or 8, and this thing rocketed off the floor. And I walked over there. They handed me the checkbook and I wrote a check for $1,000. But that was a can you go moment in my life. Sure. Thanks for remembering that. Come on.
Of course. I mean, I'll make sure I dig up the episode number and put it in the show notes so people can, if you haven't gone back there, I'm looking at the great thing about Google is you can just type in Dan John Fitcast and all the Fitcast episodes pop up. I guess we're on number 9.
Wow. That's amazing.
I'll post that in the show notes, but definitely make sure you go back to that first one.
Yeah. It's funny, you kind of sit back here and, I'm kind of scratching my neck going, yeah, I'd forgotten I'd done that. That's pretty cool. Yeah. It was funny, in hindsight at the time, with two kids, I've always had two careers, a professor, of religious studies and I've always done something else. But at the, it was a tough time, both kids in Catholic schools here, Catholic high school here in Utah, and getting ready to, send them off. Both my daughters graduated from college with no debt at all, zero debt. And, man, $1,000 back then was a lot of money for us. So I think it was easier doing the deadlift than writing the check, to be honest with you. Yeah. But by God, now we look a couple years later and it's marvelous. I appreciate that, Kevin. More you know. Thanks.
Yeah, like I said, that was a big impact on me when I heard it. That was again, I think for a lot of people that were listening too, we got a lot of feedback from that. So let's, again, we'll go back into assessments, but I want to talk about assessing programs because that is another major factor of the book is making sure, are you wasting those last 4 weeks of your training? How are we supposed to really assess if things are working? What do you like to do?
You see, coming from track and field, it's funny because as a football, when you play football and you do track and field, I think that's a great combination. you know, I hurdled in high school. I was a thrower and hurdler in high school. And I look back now and I realize that hurdling was a great thing for me to do as a football player. Great thing. They really complement each other. And then all the pushing that you do in football really helped my throwing. So that all made, okay, so, you know, but then when you stay in track and field, you sit back and go, it's easy in track because if you do this exercise and the shot put goes farther, this exercise is a good thing. Keep it up. If you go lactose free and your 800 meter time drops, it's good for you. Keep doing it. You follow my point? So it's easy in track and field, and I'm guessing maybe swimming, though I don't know. It's real easy to assess if the program is working because performance gets better. But there's no other place that it's that simple. So the two tools I use to assess the program are the standing long jump and the farmer walk. In the book, I give you the numbers that you need to know. I just frankly don't feel like doing it right now. But if I do my little Mass Made Simple program, okay, and in 6 weeks I put on 15 pounds, which is not uncommon, 15 pounds, and my standing long jump drops off, say, an inch or two, was that a good thing or a bad thing, Kevin? Well, you don't get smaller as the game goes on. So I would say that was pretty good. Now, if your farmer walk also drops back, then I think we have a problem. Now, you do a program, you do Big 21, which always, always improves farmer walk and standing long jump. And at the end of the 3 weeks of the Big 21, your standing long jump went up and your farmer walk improved. That tells me that as hard as that program was, the program worked. You understand the difference there?
Absolutely.
We assess the athlete. We have all these tools to do that, but we don't really assess the program. So that's why there's no simpler test than the standing long jump and the farmer walk, which is why I use those two. I mean, they sort of are idiot proof. Okay. I mean, how many times does it take to do the standing long jump before you figure out how to do it? Honestly, if it takes you more than one, you know, maybe we need to have other discussions about your future.
Absolutely.
You know, if you can't figure out a farmer walk after seeing somebody else do it, you know, maybe sports isn't your, that's maybe not the world you want to go into. So that's assessing the program, or what we call grading the mirror. Yeah. So that's the way we look back at ourselves. And I think no matter what you do, you've got to make sure you assess the person. And, you know, I mean, if all of a sudden Bobby has six-pack abs and he's walking around with his shirt off 24/7, that's great. But if he's lost his – I mean, if his standing long jump and his farmer walk have dropped, you know, maybe he looks good, but we've lost him as an athlete. You know, he looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane.
Okay.
So you got to make sure – so I guess what I'm saying is assess the athlete, but also don't forget to assess the program.
I hope you let me do this because, you know, again, I was typing in Google and I totally forgot this. But back in 2006, I wrote my very first article for a publication, and it was Elite FTS. And the article was The Knowledge and Wisdom of the Elite. And it was some quotes that I took from guests that I interviewed on the show. Up until that point, it must have been, I don't know, 20 episodes. I think you were episode 20. So I do have a quote from the show, if it's okay if I go through that real quick, just to refresh everyone.
Sure.
In case they don't want to go back. But I brought up you, and this is a quote from you. My daughter Kelly put on a thing called Lift for Larry, where people went in and we set up a deadlift platform and a bench press. And you would get people to sign off for a nickel, dime, or a dollar for every pound you would lift. I have a great love for Larry. He is truly one of the most gentle and decent people I have ever met in my life. I said if I pulled 600 in the deadlift, I would donate $1,000. Well, you have 400 kids screaming at you. At age 48, you pull 600. So I pulled a 600-pound deadlift and then wrote a check for $1,000. They raised $14,000 in 1 week and 5 days. And when people ask me why I work there, I say love for Larry. He's doing everything, and speaking about Larry, he's doing everything I tell my athletes to do. You know what? He shows up. Sometimes in life, your job is to just show up. When people ask me, what's the secret to being a good father? Well, you show up. What's the secret to being a good husband? Well, you show up. Being a good friend? Well, you show up. Even if you don't want to help him move for the 15th time, you still show up, and Larry shows up. And that was, again, that was the thing that stood with me, or stayed with me, from that interview. And again, it was allowed me to get my very first article on Elite FTS. So thank you for that.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And I exaggerated about the number of students. It was only 400, huh? It seemed like a thousand. Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool, huh? That's amazing. It's amazing to think how much has happened since then.
It's thank you to Elite FTS for saving that article.
Yeah,
that database. That's awesome.
That's great. Appreciate that. Thank you.
No, thank you. Okay, so from there, let's see. Again, I'm on all these notes. Let's see, where should we go from here? Let's talk about the five.
Folks listening, Kevin read the whole book last night, took notes, and then called me today. So, you know, it's okay that we're a little bit unstructured here. God bless him to get through that and do that. I really appreciate that. So he gets a. We're all going to give him a break today, okay? So don't say negative things in the comments.
Oh, no. Everyone's always super fit. Well, the thing is, like, I don't know. Do I want to talk about the conditioning stuff that you do? Because I know in the book you talked about one of your, you know, favorite things for, you know, just getting the heart rate jacked up is to make sure, you know, you're going from standing to lying down, back to standing, going up and down from the ground. And one of your, I guess one of your favorites that you put in there was, you know, 20 swings and 6 push-ups, and doing that, you know, going back and forth between those two, resting for 30 seconds, and then doing that for 15 minutes. Do you have any other circuits that you like to go to when it comes to conditioning? And are you putting these into, you know, what you would call like a training day, or is this like an off day kind of circuit thing that you would do? Or is it like, does that make sense?
Of the 22 questions you asked, let me see if I – okay. If they want to find – if anyone wants to find more, go to my website, danjohn.net, and find the Coyote Point Kettlebell Club PDF. It's like 52 pages or something like that. It's free. And I've got a bunch of those swing push-up workouts in there, okay? And originally in the book, we had – oh, we must have had 7-10 pages of them. But then I realized that it was killing the flow of that section. So one of my favorite things to do is combine swings, goblet squats, and push-ups into a series, because really, if you just do those three, you basically cover the bulk of human movement in those three movements. And so you could generally we use those. When I work in groups, depending on our goal, that would be like, if we're going to do 5 things that day, it would be number 4. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first part would be what you would call a warm up. That's when we do, some light swings with mobility work in between. Number 2 might be the strength portion of the day. That would be, you know, with, you know, working, getting stronger. 3 would be the corrective part of the day. So that would be the bird dogs and the different stuff. You'd mix, like today we had someone doing half kneeling presses with bird dogs. Kind of an odd little combination, but that's what that person needed. Number 4 would be that part of the workout where you get hot and sweaty. Okay. And then number 5 would be when we work on, again, the mobility and all those little things that are sometimes overlooked. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for being there. See you later. You can call number 5 the cool down also. So that's how I would – that in the most general sense, that's where we throw those kinds of things in. But if you're on a road trip, a couple of years ago I did – I still want to punch him for this. James Breese's kettlebell fever thing where he has
That's a great name. That sounds like something everyone would want to just do right now.
Yeah, well, he had this workout. He still says, I did it as he said to do it. But it was 1 goblet squat, 1 swing, 2 goblet squats, 2 swings, 3, 3, 4, 4, 5. Okay, so when you get to 10, that's 55 total and 55 total, right? Mm-hmm. Then he went 11, 11, 12, 12. Do you know what was after 16, 16? 17, 17. All the way up to 20, 20. I did the damn thing. And he said, no. No, you're only supposed to just, you jerk. That's exactly how you wrote it. So you could just do, I don't know, it, like it says in the book, you know, take 15 minutes and do, you could just do on the minute, 20 swings and one push up on the minute, and then rest there, you know, or 15 swings and one goblet squat, one push up on the minute. But there's 100,000 variations for doing it. And I've already written them down. Yes, if you only have 15 minutes, those are wonderful little, and you can, it's not just a workout where you get tired, but it's also a training session. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which of course, you know, is an important working out has its value. It's when you get sweaty and you feel you high five each other because you're a sweaty mess, but workouts don't tend over time to have a lot of impact. Where a true training session to me is when you practice some skills and get better. I'm doing Max Shanks. I'm doing two of his things. I'm trying to improve on the dip rings, my front lever, and on the parallette bars where you go from an L-sit to a handstand. So 2 or 3 days a week, I practice those two things. And it's weird because if you've never trained with us, you'll be freaked out about how good we are on the parallette. We're terrible. But we're so much better than someone who's never trained on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
As we are practicing. And I think that practicing and training is kind of the lost gem of training for most people. They don't actually ever practice. They just work out. They get tired, poor movement quality, which is going to impact over time your mobility and flexibility. You do a lot of stuff, but you're not getting better. So you end up hot and sweaty. God bless you for doing it. But really, outside of a short term, that's not going to carry over a week, you know, 2, 3 years from now.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of your gym, I'm always fascinated by what you guys are up to now in terms of your training. Are you guys all, you know, doing some of Max's stuff, or it's like your laboratory. So I'm kind of curious, what are you testing in there right now?
Well, it's funny. Yes. Cause today was a test day. Today was, it was as easy a workout as we've had. We began with, I used the 36 kilo kettlebell. So 10 swings followed by mobility movement. Mm-hmm. So 9 on the TRX and windmill stick, stony stretch, hip flexor. So only 100 swings with the 36 with 9 mobility movements. And then today we tested 3 rep max on the military press, the pull-up, the dip, and the curl. And that was the whole day. So today was just a testing day. I got 3 dips with 70 pounds, which is, you know, good for 58 years of age.
Yeah.
I did I hooked the kettlebell on my feet when I do pull-ups, and I got 3 pull-ups with the 20 kilo, which is 44. So I was happy with that. The press was nothing special. The curl, we stopped at 185 because we're all joking. We went from doing biceps curls to Olympic lifts after that. So I didn't count it after 185. But generally, 3 days a week, I do 250 swings and done like this, 25 swings, 1 goblet squat, march in place, mobility movement, 10 sets of those. And then after that, I pick I pick on an area of the body, more like a bodybuilder, where I work on that day. One day a week almost always is a long press circuit. One day a week is almost universally a long pull circuit, just because those are the areas that I feel where I'm at right now I need to cover. I'm actually working my arms now once or twice a week, something I've never done my whole career. And then we do the practice on the rings or the parallettes. So that's, you know, and then one day a week is dedicated to the loaded carries. So we do the 250 swings, and then we just put all the crap out there, the the heavy bags, the farmer bars, the slosh pipe, and whatever else we got, and walk back and forth a bunch of times.
This is a stupid question, but you know, this is something that, again, we've kind of had debates about at our facility. How long are you doing the carries, or how far are you doing the carries?
Right now, it would work out, for your American audience, it's 50 yards.
Okay.
So, you know, about 45 meters, I think. Yeah, 40, yeah. 46 maybe. And out and back. But you know what? Generally, if I was going to tell you a rule about loaded carries, is you only do each one once, down and back. Mm-hmm. And if that's too easy, then the load is too light. So increase the load. And like for even something like a prowler, if you're going to do a prowler going down and back, if that was too easy, well, hook a sled around their waist, push the prowler down and back with the sled, and then be done with it. Because what happens is, and I mean, there's people with different opinions. Like Jim Wendler would have you do it from 20 to 50 times, and I'm fine with that too. But in my experience has said that most people will start to save energy on the loaded carries after the first set. They'll get too smart. And so if you have 8 pieces of equipment, then that's 8 loops. If you have 5, that's 5 loops, you know, unless you can mine. Okay?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, the Perform Better talks are coming up. I know you're doing a lot of travel. Got to get those arms in, you know, got to get those arm sessions in.
Get my armaconda's back to shape. Yes. Yeah.
So summer's coming, you know, don't want to be out in Long Beach.
Right.
Guns. So.
That's right.
That's stuff I got to start considering that too. Got to show up in public and stand at a table all day. Okay. So this is what I want people to do. We're going to start wrapping things up because I have a hungry dog that wants his lunch and his walk. So I want to first again say that this is really a no-brainer. Like, if you want to say, you know, what could I do with $20? Pretty much nothing better right now than picking up this book. And this, I enjoyed the book so much. Like, I got through, I think, 2/3 of it last night, or about halfway through. I was so excited about it. I never sent out email. I have like a newsletter list for the Fitcast. I never use it. And I sent it out to the list. I'm like, you guys, all right, just stop what you're doing. Go on Amazon, buy this book, and get going. Because no matter what, you're going to get $20 out of this book, whether it be for programming, assessing yourself, assessing your program, or, you know, it could just be something that is going to motivate you to get back to where you should be in terms of what you're doing at the gym. And hell, you might get a whole lot more than that. And for $20, and then the audiobook, I believe, is 15 or 1 credit through Audible, and the Kindle version is $8. And it's just, again, it's a good deal. You know, I can't oversell it because it's just, I feel weird even just trying to oversell it because it sounds like I'm salesy, but I don't get a credit for any of the books. Just go to Amazon.com and pick up the book and check it out. But where are you going to be? You're going to be at all 3 Perform Betters this year? I know there's a lot of...
No, just Providence and Long Beach.
Oh, so what do you got against Chicago?
You know what? I don't make the schedule. I don't... this next weekend, I'm going to a real cool thing. One of my friends is being made the head of one of our SEAL teams. So I'm going to be with his family at that. Tiff and I are going to fly out. And then I'm flying out to the Sorens out in South Carolina the next day. So it's going to be in South Carolina. So I'm going to go from San Diego to South Carolina. You know, that'll be an interesting couple of days.
That's rough.
And then, let's see. And then I go up to Louisville to do a symposium. And then after that, I go to Discus Camp. After Discus Camp, I fly, and Tiffany's coming with me. We're going to London so I can do my, what we're calling the Art of Coaching Workshop. Mm-hmm. Which you know, I'm kind of excited about it, to be honest with you. And after that, I go to Perform Better Munich. I think that's what happened. is I got invited to the Munich one.
Oh, I'll be there too.
Really?
Yeah, we're doing some CFSC stuff out there, I think. So I'll be out there for that.
Okay, and then after that, on paper, I'm going to Edinburgh to be the keynote in August. And I've got another trip or two in August that just not coming to mind right now. And then, of course, Long Beach, you know, perform better. So it's going to be...
It's a busy summer.
I'm already, it's funny, this year, I'm already on, okay, I'm a Delta Diamond. I fly so much, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I hit Platinum in April already this year. And so I'm almost a Diamond again this year, which is kind of amazing. So, you know, which is great. I mean, I really like what I'm doing. I love the European audiences. They're wonderful to work with. One thing that's fascinating, Kevin, is that when I give a workshop and people will come up after, they'll shake my hand, they'll say something very kind, and they'll give me a gift. It's not like a trophy or anything. It's like these are biscuits from Serbia. This is some coffee from, and it's like it's very interesting. They give me gifts from their homeland, and it's so cool. I mean, the people in the United States are wonderful too. Don't let me say anything wrong with them, but it's just fascinating. Also too, in Europe, my style, even though my jokes are terrible, my style works well with them. Because very often there's a big disconnect with European audiences between like what happens in performance and what happens in fitness. There's a gulf. There's a gulf between the two of them. I really enjoy what I do. You know, I'm enjoying it. And as long as I can keep saying that, I'm gonna keep doing it.
Oh yeah, that's not a bad way to live.
And then it's funny because the next book I'm writing is already done, which is amazing to say. And then the book after this one, Can You Go is finished. The next book is basically finished too, but you know it needs cleaning up. And then the one after that, I've been so inspired recently with some insights that, I mean, I might be able to knock out, you know, in the calendar year, two finished books and another one almost done. So I don't know. I just, you know, I'm retired. Well, you know, I wouldn't say, well, whatever I am, I did real well. So I was able to retire and take care of business. And now I'm trying real hard to, you know, help as best I can the next generation of people not have to go through as many, minefields as my group had to. Do we still have much time?
Of course we do.
You know, this is going to sound odd, but I grew up, I think, in a real tough time as an athlete because drugs, and this isn't a moral thing, but so many guys – most of my, I'll get emails or even phone calls sometimes from competitors. They'll say, you know, Dan, I've discovered Jesus and they'll basically sound out like they're from a AA meeting. And I wanted to, you know, when I beat you at this track meet and blank and blank and blank, I was heavy on anabolics. And I look back now and realize that I was a cheater. I'm like, well, do you want to send me the medal or anything? And so many of our programs are still based on this idea that, you know, like this one program, the correct way to do it is you're supposed to take amphetamines before you train, smoke dope before every meal so you're hungry, and take massive amounts of anabolics. There is a training program that's quite famous, and that's the little part they forgot to mention in the books. So we lost that tradition of information about intelligent, rational, even-handed training, and I'm going back and talking to people who lifted and threw back in the day, who didn't have drugs, who threw real far and lifted big weights and they couldn't have done anabolics because they weren't around. And then I'm also trying to really mine our great tradition that's drug-free. And the reason I'm doing it is because most people train like they are on anabolics, but they're not. Mm. If that makes sense, they train. Yeah. They're doing, you know, these poor guys who are doing bodybuilding programs plus plyometrics, plus Olympic lifts, plus body, plus this, plus that, and there's no, and they're in, and they also have a 9-to-5 job and kids. You can't recover from that shit. And once something goes south, the only answer is surgery. You know, so that's not always the best.
I wish I could tell you a story, but I can't tell you it on air. I'll tell you it later.
Well, here's a story I can tell you. I am shocked at how many of my friends are dead.
From anabolic steroid use?
Well, gosh, no, it wasn't. They all had congenital heart problems.
That's right. Or
when their wife shot them in the chest, stunning. The number of my friends, it's stunning. Or, you know, or with lifetime joint issues that are incurable. Pardon me. But enough of that. This is me grandstanding. That's enough of that.
Well, you know, that's, you know, again, we'll continue this another time. But like I said, you can get more Dan John right now. And I have to every time, you know, I talk to someone that works with Laree Draper, I get to talk about the awesome OTPBooks.com, just the amazing collection of educational resources that Laree has helped cultivate over there. And she just... It's ridiculous. And
the movement lecture series, I'm convinced that is going to be 20 years, 30 years from now, that will be just priceless gems, man.
And the same thing. I don't know how she puts it all together, but you know, just in the last like 2 months, I mean, it's been not only just been your book, but just a couple weeks ago, Sue Falzone had the shoulder DVD.
Yeah.
And then Charlie Weingroff and Mark Chang had their DVD series, Hacking the Hinge, come out too. So just constantly awesome stuff. And it is literally like a one-stop shop. And you can get the OTP stuff on Amazon.com as well. But if you want to go to just OTPBooks.com, you can order it all through there and just check out the amazing just library of not only video but audio stuff on there. And Laree always is doing a great job. Yes. And it is Christmas multiple times a year. I get to see those things come in to my my mailbox.
She's amazing. And yeah, I'm very proud to be part of it. And really, I mean, I know people love Amazon, but the one thing about Laree, if you buy her products, she always plugs in a bunch of free, like movement lectures and audio stuff. And so it's more bang for your buck. But I also understand why, you know, readers go to Amazon. It's, you know, why do I buy Hogwarts shields from Amazon? Because it's easier to find it there than at the local stores. So I get that, you know.
Excuse me, what are you buying?
Oh, Hogwarts, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I had to buy a shield. You don't really want to know the whole story, trust me. Your geekness will fall over by the level of geekosity, okay?
Gotcha. All right, fair enough. All right, well, check all that stuff out. Of course, danjohn.net, otpbooks.com. And if you enjoy the Fitcast, it'd be great if you subscribe to that thing through iTunes. You can submit a review on there. It helps bump us up. And a huge thank you to the entire audience. Because the Fitcast was at the top of the best fitness podcast in the latest issue of Men's Health. So that is something that I've never seen. I've never seen the Fitcast get mentioned in any kind of like big publication. So, you know, that's a big thanks to you guys for continuing to spread the word and to talk about it. And, you know, whoever did that at Men's Health, I'm guessing you're listening. Thank you for that, too. And then, of course, patreon.com/thefitcast if you want to support the show for $1 an episode and get access to all that extra content. Plus, you get to help me make more shows. So that's a good thing. So, of course, Dan, thank you so much for coming back on. And thank you to everyone for always tuning in and downloading this show.
Anytime, my friend, okay?
Fun. I'm gonna party hard until the sun comes. so good.